Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. I just really have been thoroughly enjoying this book of Revelation. I've never had so much time to study it, and I just really have been really thoroughly enjoying it. I've gotten more out of it than I ever have because of the time that I'm able to devote to it, to study it. I just love studying. I know our teachers love to study. They like teaching because they like to study. I agree, Elroy, and all the rest of you. I like to study. I just enjoy the time, get myself a cup of coffee, and away I go. And before I know it, the hours just fly, because I enjoy it so much. Revelation chapter 8, last verse of chapter 8. We need to ask the Lord's help. Father in heaven, hide me behind the cross. It's not anything about me. I'm just a voice. And I'm sure honored today to stand in your presence. Lord, let there nothing be anything between me and thee. Cleanse me. Make me clean. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And now, Lord, help me to teach this in a way that everybody here will be able to understand and grasp the truths of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bible. I want you to follow the verses with me. I think if you do that, you'll be able to understand it better. I want you to be able to see what I see and what I teach and where I get it, where I get it from. The wording is important to understand and know where I get it from. The four trumpets have already sounded. Of course, we know that the trumpets were used for various things, a call of assemblies, a call of feasts, a call of battle. They didn't have trumpets, then they had ram's horns. They used ram's horns. They used the horns as trumpets. We have the sounding of the trumpets have already sounded. The four have sounded, and we need to hear of three more. And the three more that have yet to sound has already gave warning. An angel flies through the midst of heaven. We don't know who this angel is. It doesn't say his name. Could be Gabriel. Gabriel, it seems, has been attributed to messages. He seems to be a message angel. It could be Gabriel. But he flies through heaven and he says three words. Same words three times. Woe. It would be our way of saying, can I have your attention, please? That would be the first woe. Can I have your attention, please? That would be the second woe. Can I have your attention, please? That's the third woe. What's coming is very important. If you thought the last four trumpets was bad, what's coming is worse. As I said before, in the beginning of the tribulation period, picture like a snowball coming down a hill. And it gathers more snow and gets bigger. And that's the way the tribulation period is. The intensity keeps getting worse. Why do you suppose that is? God's working with human wills. Did you ever work with a human will? Did you ever have any children that defied you? Huh? You, God is working with his children. He's working with the human will. And he's doing everything possible that he can to get them to see that they need to be saved. It's very important. Torment for 5 months is nothing compared to torment for eternity. And so this angel says, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Chapter 9, the fifth angel sounds. You with me? And I saw a star fall from heaven onto earth, and to him is the key to understanding this star. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, him is a personality. It's not a star. It's like a star. This angel, in his swiftness from heaven to earth, resembles that of a star. Now, the reason I say that is because some commentators will say that this was an evil angel. And why is that? Well, let me read what Jesus had to say in Luke chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy. This was after they were sent out. They were saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were talking to Jesus. The disciples were saying, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is the reason why some commentators would interpret this angel as being an evil angel. But I can tell you that God doesn't give an evil angel a key to nothing. Are you with me? No evil angel gets a key to nothing. Keys are important, and you give those to important people. Certain people can only have keys. And I certainly wouldn't give a key to an evil angel, and neither would the Lord. That's my observation and interpretation of this. So I don't agree with, what is his name, Dwayne Duck. I don't agree with his interpretation. You know, that's okay. Like I said, when I study, I like to listen to different people's comments, and I use lots of commentaries, and I want to hear how they interpret it, and then I come up with my own interpretation. When scripture makes common sense, you shouldn't have to seek any other sense. I don't think it's all that important who this angel is, by the way. We just know that he sounds. And John is making a description here. He's recording this. He said he saw the star fall from heaven. We know from chapter 1 that the stars are angels. The stars are angels. We also know in another place in scripture that the Lord named the stars. He named all the stars. He has names for all of them. Can you imagine? You go out on a starry night and see how many stars. God named them all. That's why it's so important to understand he has the hairs of your head numbered. And then you wonder if God is concerned about certain things in your life. Duh, here's your sign. He really is concerned about everything in your life. Because he knows everything, and he's concerned about everything. Don't ever think that what you're thinking about, you think I should bother the Lord with this? He's not bothered by anything. He loves you so much. Please understand that. He loves you so much. He knows everything. I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Where is this bottomless pit? Not in this particular time frame, but I believe in chapter 12 we might be able to deal with it a little further. I believe the bottomless pit is somewhere fixed below the great gulf. It was fixed. Jesus referred to Abraham's bosom or paradise, and then there was a great gulf fixed. There was a great chasm. There was a distance here. There was a space between paradise and Abraham's bosom to Hades. Another word for Hades is hell. There was another word that's used, Gehenna. Gehenna is reference to a burning dump outside Jerusalem. Gehenna refers to flames and heat, hot. So Hades, hell, Sheol. These are all representations of a place which I believe is in the center of the earth. The Bible says that hell is located in the lower parts of the earth. So it's somewhere. We know that there's caverns in the earth. Scientists tell us there's molten lava in the center of the earth. There's molten lava. Well, let me tell you something. These spirit beings are spirit beings. They're not affected by heat or cold. They're not affected by either. So in the center of the earth, someplace in the lower regions of the earth, we have a place, a great gulf fixed that was between Abraham's bosom paradise and hell, and somewhere below the great gulf evidently is a bottomless pit. It's a place where there's spirits that are bound. Let's read a little further with me, so let's go to this. And verse 2 says, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. Well, that certainly could be volcanic smoke, could be lava, could be certainly something from the center of the earth that keeps our earth in the position that it stays all the time. God made the earth, so he's done some amazing things to keep this huge planet in the place where it's supposed to be. And so if the scientists figure it out, there's molten lava in the center of the earth, so be it, whatever. But I can tell you this, if Bible says hell is in the lower regions of the earth, God can make a place like he made everything else. And so there is a place called the bottomless pit or the abyss. As the smoke of a great furnace, and as it came out, the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. You see, they were locusts. Now, we understand what locusts are. Locusts normally hurt grass and vegetation. But these are special locusts. They're only called locusts by the way in which they appear or the way they look. They came out of the smoke upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, that's pretty clear. So that means those who probably received the mark of the beast, or perhaps maybe they haven't received the mark yet. But they all will have to make a decision one way or the other. And so it was told that they were to affect those men which have not the seal of God. And listen, whenever it says men, it also includes women as well. Hello. It also includes men and women. This isn't just the men of the earth that will be affected. Men and women will be affected. Children, families, the entire family will be affected. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. That'll come later. There'll be another group that comes later that will do that. But that they should torment them for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Does anybody ever hear of anyone that ever got a sting of a scorpion? Anybody here ever got stung by a scorpion? Does anybody know what terrible pain is involved when you get the scorpion sting? Does anyone here know? Terrible, terrible pain. I'm not even looking in my book because I have most of this memorized. It affects the nerves. It feels like your nerves are on fire. The venom makes you feel like your nerves are on fire. It's terrible pain. It causes convulsions and seizures. It's a terrible pain. It's probably one of the worst bites you can get. The venom causes the nervous system to feel like it's on flames. It's from fire. Can you imagine? For 5 months. Now, these are spirits. Understand, these are spirits. I don't know how much of this, according to the commentary, is you won't be able to see them. Can you imagine all of a sudden getting stung and you don't even know what hit you? You can't fight it off. You can't do anything. But you just got stung and you have no idea. You didn't see it. It's like mosquitoes are so fine and little that they bite you and you don't even know you're being bit. And that's the way this is going to be. These are spirit beings. They're not physical. They're not something that you can see. We have a description of them. Are they going to be visible? I don't believe they are. I believe they're going to be invisible. That's even going to be worse. Because there's no way you'll be able to defend yourself. You'll get stung, and for 5 months of torment. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. I'm at verse 5. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. There'll be no way they'll be able to kill themselves. That means the weapons must have been confiscated. Evidently, nobody has any weapons to kill themselves. So evidently, weapons have already been confiscated. The only ones that have weapons are those that are going to be in charge of you. The Antichrist army will have weapons, but you won't. Because it says they desire to die and death shall flee from them. So they can't commit suicide. They won't have no weapons to do that. Look at verse 7. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared to battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men, their hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron. Iron in the scripture means judgment. Iron is judgment, always judgment. Brass symbolizes judgment. And the sound of their wings was as a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now this king over them obviously is not Satan, because Satan would not be confined in this place. Satan and a third part of his angelic host are free to roam. So it's not Satan. This king that is over them, by the way, is also bound. He's not free. Well, these spirits are free spirits, because they'll be released, so now they're free. This king that was over them is pretty much like God's archangel. God has archangels, so Satan, this would be like Satan's archangel. This king would be his archangel. The king had a name in the Hebrew. What was it? It was Abaddon. In the Greek, it was Apollyon. Apollyon, that was his name. He's referred to as the destroyer. When you look up those names, it says he's a destroyer. Now, I remember of hearing that word before, destroyer. And I went all the way back to Exodus, because that's where I remember reading that. In Exodus chapter 12, when it came time for the angel to pass over, do you remember that story? When the death angel went to pass over, it was the Lord's Passover. And it was said there that he was a destroyer. I'm trying to find it now, the actual word where it said he was called the destroyer. There it is. Chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. So there are the word destroyers. Whether that's the same angel, it could be. I sort of doubt that it is, but it could be. He is referred to as the destroyer. The reason I don't think it's the same angel is because these angels were bound. They were bound for a certain purpose, for a certain reason. Jude 6 gives us indication of what they did. In Jude verse 6, says they left their first estate. When God created the angels, he created them for the purpose of service. They were created for the purpose of serving. But there's something else he gave the angels that caused a problem. Can anybody know what that was that caused a rebellion to happen in heaven? How else did the Lord create the angels that created the problem? A free will. This was the problem. God created the angels with a will to choose. Like you and me, they have a will to choose. And some of them chose the wrong things. They chose to do the wrong things. In Jude verse 6 says they left their first estate. That means they chose to do something other than what God had purposed for their life. They decided to do something different. In fact, I can't get into it now, but you can go to Genesis chapter 6. Keep that in your head with what I'm telling you. And then when you read that, I want you to keep that in mind when you read Genesis chapter 6. Their desire was to try to cohabit with man and develop an evil lineage, because the devil knew that Jesus was going to be born of man. Their attempt in the very early was to attempt to destroy the man Christ, Jesus. That was their attempt. That was Satan's attempt to always foil God's plan. Genesis chapter 6 will tell you that when they went on to the daughters of men, that there were men of great renown born to them. The men of great renown formed the Amorites, or a group called the Nephibim. The Nephibim was a race of giants that would make Goliath look like a grasshopper. Now, Pastor, how did Goliath come about? Well, Goliath was in the DNA of Noah's wife. That's how Goliath came about much later. But God sent a flood, and God used the flood to destroy what Satan had made an attempt to try to do. He used the flood to destroy the Nephibim. Are you with me? I know this is deep water. Now, I lost some of you. How many of you never heard of this? You've never heard this. Wow. Well, then you are doing some studying. It's in the scriptures. There's not very many pastors try to tackle that. They don't try to tackle that. Now, me, I'm a little different. I like to tackle stuff like that because that's always been interesting to me. And so I do a lot of research and studying and stuff like that because it's always been something. And I know some of you teachers have little pet peeves you like to study. Well, that's something I like to study. I like to find out just what all happened long before I was here. I like to know what happened. I like to know when an angel is imprisoned and bound, why was he bound? What did this angel do? Satan and a third of the heavenly hosts are allowed to roam and do as they please. But tell me, what did these angels do that you bound them that they're not allowed to do anything? So that's what brought my curiosity to the surface. And so I've studied to find out just what these angels might have done. And we have some indications in the scripture, not much, but we do have some. And I hope I just whet your appetite to proceed further with it. And so they had a king over them. I was chasing rabbits, now I got to come back. The angel, the bottomless pit, in the name of the Hebrew tongue, was abaddoned him in the Greek tongue, Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there are two more woes to go, or hereafter. So we can take a couple more scriptures, because I still have a little bit of time. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, we already know what the golden altar is, because that's why it's said golden. The golden altar is the altar of incense. It is the altar of incense. And on the altar, there are four horns. The four horns are located in four directions of the altar. The altar's here. If this was the altar, there'd be a horn here, and a horn here. The four horns represent the four directions. In other words, it encompasses the entire earth. The four horns of the altar represent the entire earth. We have all our directions covered. The four horns of the golden altar. So now we hear a voice. When the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, we hear a voice that comes from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, we know that this river Euphrates was used quite a bit in the scriptures. Four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, I have no clue as to how an angel can be bound in a river. Obviously, because they're spirits, that's why they can be bound. They're spirits, and they're bound there. Now, what's the purpose? What is the purpose of the great river Euphrates? Well, let me give you some things and I'll take this from my commentary. The great river Euphrates represents the greatest river of boundaries in the Bible. The most prominent river that's referred to in the scriptures, it formed one of the boundaries, by the way, of the Garden of Eden. It also was a boundary for Israel in Genesis chapter 15. It's the easternmost boundary of Egypt and the boundary of the Persian Empire. And it's used in scripture as a symbol of Israel's enemies. And so the four angels today are bound in that area. And it's no accident that they have been bound there. We have some of the world's greatest events that took place near the Euphrates River. It was a boundary for the Garden of Eden. It was here a man's first sin that was committed. It was evidently near here that the first murder was committed. The first war was fought here. The Tower of Babel was erected in defiance against God here. The city of Babylon, which was built by Nimrod, and idolatry is where it received its origins, surged through the world. It was here. So is it not interesting that the river Euphrates is mentioned here of all these things that occurred in this area? And so, verse 15, still with me, the four angels were loosed. They were allowed to be set free, and they were prepared for an hour, day, month, and year. Now, it's interesting to me. I think that each one of those angels has something to do with that time period. We have an hour, a day, a month, and a year. Four things here, and there's four angels, so I'd assume that they have something to do with each of that time. And they are going to slay a third part of the men. Now, there's the difference between the locusts that are going to torment men for 5 months. These will have the power to kill a third part of man. And verse 16 says, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. How many is that? 200 million. That's 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. They had breastplates of fire, of jacinth and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. So we have another section. We already have 25% of the population killed. Now there's another third that's being killed. Notice God could do this. He could wipe the whole face of the earth just like this. He does it in sections and in pieces to give man a choice. When they see these terrible things happening, some will say, this is the Lamb of God. They mentioned it. They even used the words. But they have refused to repent. You'd think after what people would see, they would repent. They're that strong-willed and that engrossed in what they're doing that they don't repent. And we have the sins they're involved in that we won't get to today. But they're listed, and we'll talk about those maybe probably next Sunday. The things that the world is involved in. And why it holds them bound. Verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like that of serpents and had heads and with them that they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, looky here, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils, idols of gold and silver, brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear. And I'm going to elaborate on that next Sunday, those sins. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And these are the things that I also will cover each of those sections to give you an idea of what they're worshiping in the future, so that you'll know that we're already setting up for those things now. There's a lot of people involved in all that stuff right now. We're talking about a society that's becoming lawless. Lawless. Cesspool. Lawless. Lawlessness. There'll be lawlessness as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be when the Son of Man shall come. Lawlessness. Thefts, robberies, murders, all kinds of things. Why? Because they want to defund the police? Well, that's a start. We'll have police, but we'll give them rubber bullets. Hello, are you with me? We're talking about lawlessness. We're talking about people being able to do whatever they want to do. And that describes the tribulation period. And we're closer than what you think. Let's stand. We'll pick up verse 20, Lord willing, next Sunday. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it's been and what a joy it's been to share your precious word today. Lord, I really have enjoyed it. And I have seen in this study more than I've ever seen in any of my studies of your wonderful grace, your wonderful goodness, your love, your long-suffering. I've seen it in this tribulation period. How much you love your people. How much you want to see them change their hearts and change their wills and serve you. And you're doing all this so that they have the opportunity to do that because you're not willing that any of them should perish. And even in the midst of your wrath, I see your love and your mercy extended in the midst of your wrath. Oh, well, we'll never understand your love. We'll never comprehend your love. It's just beyond our comprehension. And it's just so marvelous to see your wonderful love, your compassion, and your long-suffering. Thank you for another opportunity. We ask you, Lord, to be with these who will be following this message on Facebook or other ways of being able to hear it. We ask you to be with these families that are hearing this of these avenues. We pray for their families. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with them and protect them from this pandemic virus that seems to be in everywhere and every place. We just ask you, Lord, to inoculate us with your Holy Spirit and just refresh us, Lord, and fill us a full with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just keep us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.